This is KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. Stay tuned for Metro.
Support comes from Small Town for the Cause, a weekend festival taking place at Riverside Park in Salida, Colorado, September 19th and 20th. Featuring a series of concerts headlined by two nights of elephant revival plus yoga and community activities. Ticket information and a full list of activities can be found at campoutforthecause.org.
Support comes from the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder, presenting the Matt Flinner Trio on Friday, September 5th at 7:30 p.m., featuring a bluegrass meets jazz and mountain soul performance. Tickets and information at thedairy.org.
KGNU's Yard Bazaar Part 2 is this Saturday, September 6th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at our Boulder studio, 4700 Walnut Street. We'll have a whole new batch of records, CDs, books, used media, and audio equipment for your digging delight. Join us for special live broadcast of Terrasonic and Reggae Bloodlines from our parking lot noon to 4 p.m. Donate used media in Boulder or Denver Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. All proceeds support KGNU Community Radio when you support the Yard Bazaar.
Is a wonderful Wednesday in the city of Denver, the state of Colorado, and wherever your listening ears are. Beverly Grant in the Denver studio, and I've got two special men in the studio with me who kind of represent what being a good neighbor is about, what being involved in the neighborhood that you live is about, and how important it is, and that it takes coming together to make action happen and to get things done. I have here I have John Hayden, who has been a very long time member of the Curtis Park Neighbors Association, and he's quite an activator and an activist. And he brought with him, please tell us your name.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rito Ramirez. I'm a longtime community member of Curtis Park.
Yes, and we're going to be talking about Curtis Park, which is a very historic park and neighborhood. It is actually a part of Five Points. And this is a neighborhood that is near and dear to many of us, me included. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a bit of talking about Curtis Park, which, by the way, factoid, it was the very first park established in Denver. So that alone is special and historic. Now, what would you men like to start talking about regarding the Curtis Park neighborhood and this special park? Let's start with you, Rito. Let's start with you.
Thank you. Well, I want to say a little bit something about Curtis Park. It's probably one of the most special neighborhoods in the whole city of Denver. It's the most diverse. I mean, growing up in Curtis Park, I met so many different cultures and have been exposed and have been influenced by so many people. I think that's the magic of Curtis Park. For those that know and have been part of Curtis Park, could reflect on this statement I just made. John?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So I moved with my husband to Curtis Park 30 years ago and was just amazed at the welcoming nature of that community and the diversity of the community. And it has been a fantastic home for us. And in fact, the name Curtis Park, the name of the park was changed from Curtis Park to Mestizo Curtis Park in the 80s to reflect the diversity of the neighborhood. The word Mestizo, which is now the first word in Mestizo Curtis Park, means of mixed blood. And so it actually represents the diversity of the community, and that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Now, Rito, your ties to this neighborhood date back more than 30 years.
Oh, correct. Yeah, I'm third generation family in the neighborhood.
And, you know, this is important, listeners, because many of you listening are residing in places that are generational to your family, or maybe you have developed a deep love for. And this is what brings these men into the studio to talk about changes and potential change.
Yes. So our big thing that we want to talk about with the community and make sure that all of your listeners are aware of is that there is a plan afoot to rebuild the existing pool in Mestizo Curtis Park. And that currently part of that plan involves reducing the size of the pool from a 50-yard pool, which it is now, down to a 25-meter pool. And we are concerned about what that will mean for the health and health equity of families in our community.
Well, I would agree, because to cut the size in half, you know, is, you know, that's a statement right there. And then to think about the fact that this is a robust neighborhood where there's lots of density, lots of intergenerational families there, that, you know, less in this case is not more. We need to really advocate for this not happening. Do you believe that there is time, if the community rallies, etc., to kind of put a stop or halt to this plan that's on the table? What do you say, Rito?
I believe there is. I think we need to come together, really voice ourselves to the city, have more engagement with the city officials, let them know what the community needs, and let them know that it's still a community of persons of color. And taking away the asset of the length of the pool is definitely going to it's going to hurt the neighborhood in whole.
No doubt, because it will reduce the number of people that can enjoy the pool and chill in the park. Mm-hmm. And we have decades and decades of history of people coming and sharing and chilling and grilling in that park.
Yes. And I think that this is a generational decision. So the current pool that's in Mestizo Curtis Park was built in 1936. So,
wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So generations and generations of people have used that pool. And if we get this wrong now, we won't see another new pool there for another 75 years, probably. So
exactly.
We've got to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, we do. Now, what do you feel are some tangible steps that people can take to start letting their voices be known?
Sure, thank you. So a big one is that we are organizing a community meeting on September 10th. It will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it's going to be at the Armory at 2565 Curtis Street, so right there in Curtis Park. And this is a wonderful historic building in the heart of the historic district, and we want as many people to show up for that meeting as possible. And it's our community coming together to tell the city and Parks and Recreation what we want to see happen to the pool in our park.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely want to encourage all the multi-generations that have passed through the area and through Curtis Park to step up. And, you know, whether you're living there now or if you actually have connections or your past connections, we want to hear your voice in this decision from the city as well.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I know that there are people in the community that literally have pictures of being in that park, you know, from generations past that... I love this. What is this you brought, John?
Oh, so I'm showing Bev a picture of a group of children playing in the diving area of the pool in 1940. And in this picture is a young woman named Viola Salazar, who was a USA diver. She was an Olympic level diver that came out of Mestizo Curtis Park. And that's really cool and important.
Yes, it is. And, you know, to that point, John, this kind of meeting with the citizens of Curtis Park and the city and those officials, it's a time for to remind them that, you know, it's better to support than alter. This would be a major, major alteration that really will be a disservice to the community on both the immediate and the long term. And so, you know, this must be considered.
Yes. And, you know, I show you the picture of Viola Salazar and those children in 1940 because it's important that you, if you are going to excel at a sport or an activity, you need the facilities that will support that. And we had Chicana women in our neighborhood. There's another woman named Bernice, who lives around the corner from me, who's now 96 years old, still lives on Stout Street. And she was also an Olympic level diver. And they were out of 5 points in the 30s and 40s. And the only reason that they had that opportunity was because that pool had a diving well.
And they had access to it.
Exactly.
And that's one thing I love to shout out about Denver. We do have so many beautiful neighborhood and pocket parks nestled all across the metro area. And every single one of them is important. Its design is important. And also the way the community connects to these assets is important. And that's what we're talking about right now. I'm wondering, do you feel it would be helpful if there was like a neighborhood call for people to come with memorabilia and stories to share? Because I think the city needs to be aware of this hidden history, to know about the gems that have existed and currently exist in the community. And how, you know, taking such a sweeping action such as this does not have the best in mind for all people.
Yeah, definitely. We haven't talked about it, but I think that would be a great asset to the meeting. So, John, how do you think they could get a hold of us and send those over, or definitely bring them over? If you could come in early to the meeting, we could probably set them up on the projectors we're using.
Yeah, we can have boards and also the ability to put up on the screen anything that people want to bring. If they want to bring photos or electronic media that they would like us to show of their memories of the park and of the pool, that would be fantastic for people to see.
That would be amazing if you guys could come out and share their memories. I mean, so many people have passed through there, so it'd be great to see everybody's memories in all in one place.
Yes, I agree. Now, do you think the Curtis Park neighbors could be a place, you know, to field everything toward in the interest of time? You know, maybe if there's an email or a way they could reach out via social media, you know, to message, to share these things.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll just give my email address and people can send it directly to there if they would like to send it in advance. And that is, it's pretty easy. It's John Hayden Denver, JohnHayden, and then Denver. So johnhaydendenver@gmail.com.
Beautiful. And we'll repeat that again toward the end of the show, listeners, because this is a little bit of an appeal. It's a bit of a call to action. And I know there are many of you listening right now that are not even in the metro area, but you visited this park, you have memories there. And the beautiful thing in this electronic age, no matter where you are on the planet, you're still able to send these things to John and contact the Curtis Park neighbors to share your views and your memories. But also, in addition to that, we want to reiterate this meeting coming up on September 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. That is the time where showing up is going to be vital, where letting your voice be heard and known is going to be vital. Maybe you're there as an ambassador for grandma or grandpa, an aunt or an uncle who, you know, feels passionate about what is happening. One thing I do know about us here in Denver, Colorado, that when we get together and mobilize, nothing really stops us. And we have shown that we can move mountains if we need to. Now, listeners, if you've just joined us, you're listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder and KGNU 1390 Denver. And we are speaking with Rito Ramirez and John Hayden. And these men have emerged to share their passion, their dedication to seeing that Curtis Park continues to thrive. I mean, it's the very first park ever in Denver. I feel that alone gives it some special consideration.
Yes, and there's a really long and interesting history about pools and swimming that started with the Mestizo Curtis Park pool that a lot of people aren't aware of. So originally there were four large format pools in Denver, in Mestizo Curtis Park, La Raza, La Alma Lincoln Park, and Congress Park. And what we have seen over the decades as those pools have aged and been replaced, we now are in a situation where the large pool in La Raza is gone. They took it out entirely. The large pool at La Alma Lincoln Park was reduced to a 25-meter pool, and a kiddie pool was added. And then leaving only Congress Park and Curtis Park with the large pools. And interestingly, Congress Park was recently rebuilt. And when Congress Park was rebuilt, they didn't shrink the size of the pool. They enlarged it substantially. So the swimming pool went from a 50-yard pool to a 50-meter plus a 25-meter configuration. So they've got both a 25-meter and a 50-meter pool in Congress Park and a small children's play area. And we're very concerned about what that means in terms of health equity, because if families don't have the facilities for their children to learn to swim, to be parts of swim teams, to play water polo, to dive, then they don't have access to these important life skills and athletic activities that can help them throughout their whole lives. And historically, this has been really a terrible story for African-American and Latino communities. We are at the stage now where 70% of African-Americans in the country don't know how to swim. 60% of Latinos don't know how to swim. African-American children are three times more likely to drown than Anglo children. And so it does matter if you have a swimming pool, a real swimming pool in your neighborhood where you can learn to swim. And while they're planning a play pool, they're planning a large play pool, you cannot learn to swim in a play pool.
Precisely. And, you know, I feel like there's nothing but hope for this to be successful, especially given what has happened in Congress Park, period. Mm-hmm. And so you all are not even asking to increase the size. You're asking for it to remain in its original configuration. And I feel like, given the history of going from four large pools down to two-ish, and we say ish because of the current status of Curtis Park, it's imperative it's paramount that we think about showing up, sharing our voices, and letting these decision makers know that you are on the brink of making a grave mistake. And since you are public servants, the public is telling you, we do not like this idea. And it's the public coming straight from the neighborhood that utilizes this asset. Now, Rito, what else can you add to our conversation in this moment?
For myself, I believe it's the lack of awareness the city has reflected or let people know what's going on within the neighborhood for the future of the park. One of the bigger issues is we were speaking in the hall here, and the pool has been closed currently for 2 years. They're not planning to finish construction until the year 27, so that means there's a whole generation of children within the neighborhood going 4 years without a pool. For myself, growing up in the neighborhood, the pool was special to me. I learned how to swim there. I learned how to network. I met lifelong friendships out of that park. So for these children not to have that now, it's an embarrassment as a community.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I'm grateful to you men for taking this leadership, and we're taking it to the streets, literally. We're going on the airwaves. There are ways online, you know, to share. And John, who, you know, has given his email as another point of contact, you know, these are things, listeners, that show the dedication, the importance, and also shedding light on the imbalance of what is happening right here in our city. In these times of turmoil, of unrest, of higher stress, you know, being able to go to the pool in your neighborhood with friends and family and people that you need to meet that'll be your friends. This is important. It is a foundation for connection and legacy to come together. And so, you know, I just want to say, John, tell us your email one more time.
It's johnhaydendenver@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And listeners, those of you that know and love Curtis Park, we're depending on you. And we know we're speaking to the right audience, because this station has existed 47 years, completely people-powered. And that says that the voice from the community is important, that KGNU is here to be a conduit to share and connect. And so, listeners, please take action, because this will be one of those times you'll be so glad you did. And to hear about the loss that we've had, this is a chance to ensure that no more loss is experienced through this growing process. Now, we've got about five-ish minutes left. I would love for you men to share something that's near and dear to your heart. Maybe in your case, Rito, a couple of childhood memories, and then present day, of just why this park is important and why you are willing to fight for it.
Well, I'm a lifelong Denverite. I did leave Denver for about 10 years. So one of the things that always reminded me that was home was this amazing art piece that's in front of the pool house. It's called All Eyes on the Park by Manuel Martinez. It's done in the Chicano movement art style, but that mural actually reflects the neighborhood for me. There's a representation of a Native American, African American, Asian American, European American. So that mural is a strong connection. Unfortunately, I understand that we'll probably lose that mural, but maybe there's a way we can conserve it as well. So that's another issue we're going to be speaking on, is about the public art within the park for the present and future. So, but the memory for me is, and for many people, is always tied to that amazing mural that's been there and lasted the test of time.
Yes, and so that is another important factor of art and culture preservation. You know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, today people take prints. So it sounds like we need to make sure that there is an artist that comes and captures that mural, so that way prints can be made of it to share. You know, that's one way to keep it alive for many, many people. And who knows, after, and I'm just going to claim it, a successful renovation, you know, with a new configuration that supports the original design, who knows, maybe there'll be a way to take that print and have it be a part of the new installation. What are some thoughts you have, John?
I think that the public art aspect of it is something that we also want to make sure people are excited to come on the 10th and give their input on. So because of Denver's 1% for public art ordinance, the pool reconstruction will cost around around $12 million. So there'll be around $120,000 to $135,000 for public art. And so we want to hear from the public what they want to see done with that money to create either preserve the existing piece of art or create a new public piece of art through Emmanuel Martinez that honors the Chicano heritage and the mestizo nature of our community and our park.
There's no doubt about that. And I don't know. I feel like it needs to be both things, where there that part of the money is dedicated to preserving that beautiful public art, as well as, you know, inviting a new generation artist that has that connection and vision and passion. You know, maybe there needs to be an artist call that happens as a result of this too. And then the community come together and look at these beautiful ideas. You know, there's time for all of these things to happen step by step. But the first step and first base in this process is September 10th. And how many meetings do you think, as far as you know, are slated to address this issue? And because with the city, there's always a timeline for things. And so we want to be educated about that.
Well, currently just this one meeting. So this meeting is only happening because the community stood up and said, you did not do a proper public process. The Chicano, the African-American community had no idea this was happening. And we are going to demand that this meeting happen. And we're running the meeting. It's not being sponsored by the city. It is the community coming together to do this meeting. So if we get a strong community showing and support, then we will have the leverage to go to the city and say, we really need a meaningful public process.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, please join this call to action. Share your passion, your vision, your stories around the importance of the very first park ever established in Denver being preserved. And, you know, I personally invite you to be there. I know I plan to be there, and I can't wait, you know, to see who else shows up. And in our last seconds together, listeners, I want to thank you all for tuning in, as you always do at 3 o'clock each day, to see what story, what news, what events are happening around our Colorado, Denver areas. You know, that's what KGNU is about. And I'm going to invite these men back to give us updates on how this process is going, because this is important. And I want to thank you all for bringing those ears into this ear space. And I want to let you know I'll be back next week with more. So until then, you all keep being you. Enjoy the last moments of summer.
On the next Alternative Radio, hear Richard Seymour on Resentment Politics. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Support comes from Yellow Scene Magazine, Boulder County's source for local arts, culture, and news. More information is available at yellowscene.com.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our communities, the nation, and the world. I'm Scott Harris. This week we present Craig Mulkiber, former director of the New York Office of the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, who advocates a plan that the United Nations General Assembly could adopt to end Israel's ongoing genocide of Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Michelle Ruse of the Environmental Protection Network, made up of former EPA staff that are working to defend federal environmental regulations now being weakened or eliminated by the Trump administration. And Justin Glau, an independent journalist and editor of the American Doom newsletter, who discusses concern that Donald Trump could order the U.S. military to intervene and alter the outcome of the 2026 midterm election. But first, we begin with a summary of some